asked Mr. Burr to sing that tonight. I said, you know, we just need a good song, number one. What a great message it has. And number two, just a good pick-me-up song tonight for all of us. And good Wednesday night crowd here tonight. This will be our last Wednesday night to meet in this room as it is right now. So next Wednesday night we won't be in this room. And so we'll be, again, in our elective classes. There's a sign-up sheet is out there tonight. There's a sign-up sheet out there tonight. We'll talk about that at the end during the announcements tonight. But so tonight is it. In fact, Sunday morning we'll be in this auditorium, and Sunday night we'll be in this auditorium. But this Sunday night will be the last time for in this present condition that it's in. So that's very exciting. They'll come in Monday and next Monday and start ripping everything out and putting everything back together. So still supposed to be here Monday, and I just look forward to the work progressing. And also looking forward to a good change of pace is what I'll call it. It's a positive thing. And I'm looking forward to Brother Cox teaching classes, Brother Renz, myself, Brother Wiggins, all of us teaching various classes and on Sunday and Wednesday nights. So we'll be in classes on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And so for our internet crowd's going to leave us for about 2 months, possibly up to 2 months, hopefully 4 or 5 weeks, but maybe a little longer than that. So we appreciate those who watch, and we do have a good crowd that watches every service, and so we appreciate them very much. If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to Proverbs. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. I'll read Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 23. As we think about the attitude of the heart, we've talked about pride and we've talked about jealousy. Jealousy's very close kin to envy. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as we think about what we think about, our attitude, and that heart issue. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says here, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Again, focusing in on the first part of verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love for us. And Lord, we thank you that though we are undeserving, that you came and you shed your blood for us and died for us so we might have everlasting life. We thank you for allowing us and to be born in such a great country, to be for our parents. We thank you for just the life that you've given us. And we thank you for what you're going to do for us in the future. Lord, just bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We think about, again, the attitude of the heart. The one thing that most influences a person's performance and function in word, deed, and thought is his or her attitude. Webster's Dictionary defines attitude as the disposition or feeling with respect to a person or a thing. So it has a lot to do with the way we feel, has a lot to do with our disposition, who we are, or even our personalities and so forth. So all of us have attitude. And then all of us have attitude towards others. We think about attitudes that we have towards our spouses, and attitudes we have towards our bosses. We have attitude towards our parents, attitudes towards our neighbor, towards our children, towards our grandchildren. Everyone, all of us, all day long, are expressing what we think by way of our attitude. Man, this is a tough one. Attitude. There's a sign that says, "Go ahead, tell your boss man what you think of him and set yourself free." Tell you what, in this day and age, you better not do that. May not find another one. But all of us have, and again, all throughout the day, we have attitude. Our attitude governs every phase and facet of life. Our attitude determines where we are in the spiritual realm. In other words, in our spiritual life. Absolutely, our thinking has everything to do with our spiritual life. How we think, what we think about. It determines a lot to do with our attitude, has to do with our business life and our family life and our social life. Attitude is everything. It determines how far you can go in business. It determines how far you can go academically, or more importantly, how far you can go spiritually. We were just talking today about a person who falls and gets back up, falls, gets back up, falls, get back, you know. Righteous man falls 7 times, gets back up. Hey, it is about and determined by your attitude, whether or not you get back up. Now, absolutely, the Holy Spirit is there, and man, absolutely, His power and His grace enables us to do so, but it's still what we think. It's amazing how some people just have a predisposition to think so negatively. And then some have such a predisposition to think very positively. And it is has to do some with our environment, which we were raised, people we were raised around, personality of our parents. I mean, there's a lot connected to this. But your environment does not have to dictate your attitude. It doesn't have to. Your job does not have to dictate your attitude. Your boss does not have to dictate your attitude, right? You determine your attitude. I determine my attitude. And we need to understand that. And I understand maybe we do to a certain degree, but we find ourselves thinking negatively, we'll be negative. And it was real popular when I was in high school lifting weights. And I remember our coach saying, you know, see yourself lifting the weight and getting it up off the ground. And it's a bunch of hogwash. If you can't lift it, you can't lift it. I mean, if you can lift it, you can. It's not going to matter whether your mind. Okay. Work hard at it and you can lift it, right? So, that aside, not a very good illustration. But, attitude has a lot to do with your training, of getting to that position, of putting yourself in that position. And if you think critically, you're going to be critical. Brother Henderson, I got to talk to Brother Henderson today. And one thing I love about Brother Henderson, he said something I had to learn. He said that when I went to a fellowship meeting, or when I was listening to other preachers preach, he said early on in my ministry, I had to learn not to be critical. He said I had to learn not to critique their preaching. He said I had to sit down and say to myself, what can I get out of this message? What the Lord speaking to me? And here he is at 90 years old telling me this and, you know, advising me, be very careful about how you think about others and what they're doing. If you're critical in your thinking, you will be a critic. That's one thing I love, Brother Henderson. Never, never critique my preaching. He always encouraged me. And still to this day does. What you think is who you are. What you think is everything. If you think weirdly, you'll be a weirdo. Got a lot of weirdos. Let me say that again. If you think weirdly, you'll be a weirdo. We have a lot of weirdos in the world today. If you think honestly, you'll be honest. Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn there. We got a little time. Philippians chapter 4, probably a familiar passage to you. Philippians chapter 4. Look with me in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things we'll be thinking about. If you think honestly, you'll be honest. Attitude makes the difference. The reason why we have today in our world a lot of crazy people who are caught up in gross immorality and sin is because that's what they think about. And what you think about eventually happens on the outside. I think probably one of the areas that's most affected in the last 20 years is pornography. Pornography is an area that some men will think, well, I can look at it. Or some boys and teenagers will think, well, I can look at it. It won't harm anyone else. It's not harming. But yes, it is. First off, the Bible says to look on a woman, lust after her, it's a sin. Jesus said so himself. But what happens is it progresses. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And as a man begins to think and a young man begins to think about those things in that area, it will rot him from the inside out. It'll affect every relationship he ever has. It'll eventually hurt his marriage, hurt his relationships with other females. It is a cancer that is rampant in our world today. And the reason why we have a lot of crazy perverts out there, because that stuff is allowed to continue to go on. In fact, we've made it legal. When your attitude is right, your relationships are right. Think about this for a moment. You know, a spouse comes in, one of the husband or the wife comes in. They're grumpy. Their attitude, it affects the relationship, right? I mean, absolutely. A man comes home from work and he's grumpy, it's going to affect the relationship. Wife comes home from work grumpy or has spent the day with the kids and whatever else has went on that day, grumpy. We choose to be grumpy. I'm just saying. I told you this is a hard one. Jesus said you should love your enemies. Think about that for a moment. Love our enemies. Isn't love even an attitude? And I'm going to love my enemies. I'm not just going to do for them because Jesus has said, okay, if your enemy, his ox falls in a ditch, you're supposed to help him pick it up out of there. And you know, if he loses an animal, you're supposed to take it back to him, even though he's your enemy. That's the Old Testament, right? New Testament says, not only are we supposed to take back their stuff to them that they lose, but we're supposed to love them. How in the world does that happen? How can we love our enemies? It's attitude. By way of the Holy Spirit's empowerment, enablement, we can love our enemies. We can learn to like those who seem unlikable. Man, I don't like vegetables. Especially when I was a kid, I didn't like vegetables at all. I like them pretty good now. Most kids, not all kids, most kids don't like vegetables. They have to learn to eat vegetables. Except Joshua, our middle boy, I don't know what happened to him. He liked them from the very beginning. But most have to learn to like and eat vegetables. And so, absolutely, in our own lives, we can learn to like the unlikable. And Jesus Christ, could you ever see Jesus Christ griping and complaining and being critical of someone? Except calling out their sins, right? And even then, sometimes he would say, where are thine accusers? They've all left. Go and sin no more. Amen? Man, can you just see him coming home grumpy? Oh, I'm tired today. None of y'all ever do that. I haven't done that at least in the last 30 minutes. Good stuff. Come on, we've all done it. And probably do it too much, you know. Well, any is too much, but we do it pretty often. We need to be awful careful. We need to follow in Jesus' steps. Jesus thought right. His words were right. His actions were right. Philippians, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to have his thinking. And therefore, it affects my actions. It is right thinking that's important, by the way. Right thinking. Thinking on those things which are pure and honest and lovely and so forth. Thinking on these things. When your attitude is wrong, everything about you will be wrong. You'll feel bad, talk bad, see bad, do bad. It'll poison your soul and your spirit. I've even seen where people's attitude has made them sick. In fact, I know people that can make themselves sick just by their own attitudes and worry and so forth. Going to job with a bad attitude. Working with a bad attitude. Coming home with a bad attitude. These are things that we need to be cautious of. Know yourself. We talked about there the verse we read that we should not think more highly of ourselves. Look there, verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And therefore, we should absolutely be careful. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last days, that people will be high-minded. Don't we have that today? Just even if you think of what's wrong, or a lot of what's wrong in our political system, isn't it high-minded people who think they're above everyone else? Oh my goodness, it's rampant in our political system today. They think that they know better how to, you know, run our life and raise our kids than we do. Hello? I know it's Wednesday night, everybody's tired, but that was a good statement. I mean, I know I said it. I know I'm the one that said it, but we have people up there in Congress who think they need to micromanage our life. And everybody ought to take personal responsibility for their own stuff and for their own kids and for their own finances and so forth. Listen, a lot of people high-minded, you know. I know we're not necessarily talking about it at a job where somebody knows more than you, but it's the attitude of superiority that we're talking about, that you think more highly than you ought to think of yourself. We must know ourselves. You must know who you are, what you are, where you are, and why you are. Why this body? Why this stature? Why this mind? Why this soul? Why this life? Listen, is it 7 billion people in the world today now? Why are you who you are? Why do you live in the house that you live in? You know, why are you going bald? Why were you born in America? You ever thought about it? Acts 17 says, "In Him we live and move and have." Acts 17 also says that He hath determined the bounds. He hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of our habitation. You realize tonight that the Lord directed where you would be born? The Lord determined that. That's what Acts 17 is saying. That's why I prayed before I preached tonight. Lord, thank you for letting me be born in the United States of America. Imagine where you could have been born. Imagine where you could. Listen, we need to know ourselves. We need to realize who we are and what we are and why we are and these things. And it will sure help us not to think highly of ourselves. Somebody has said this. He said, if we could buy some people for what they're worth, then sell them for what they think they're worth, we could be instant millionaires. We've already read Romans 12 and verse 3, but you can turn over just a few pages to 1 Corinthians 10:12, and 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We better be careful about being critical and have an attitude towards others and whatever has befallen them, whatever state they may be in, and say, "I would never do that," because you just might. We need to be very careful. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Listen, my sufficiency is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I just remind you again that your self-worth is not found in what others think of you? That the value of oneself is found in what God thinks of us? Our value is found in Him? So many people are caught up in what others think of them, or what others think of what you're wearing, or what you may have, or what home you live in, or what car you drive, and We always kind of give that thought of, what do people think of me? I mean, we buy a new car and instantly we want to, we all do this, but instantly we think about what people will think. You know you do. We better be very careful about that. I mean, my value comes from what God thinks of me. My value comes in being in Christ Jesus. Amen? Being saved. Having the Holy Spirit live in me. And listen, there's some here tonight, you may be discouraged and depressed or whatever the case is, and so a lot of that has to do with that. What one thinks of oneself. Man, we ought to get our eyes off ourselves, get our eyes on Christ and what He thinks of us. Vitally important. Important. And we were discussing this morning, that your attitude and the storms that you face and the problems that are coming your way or the problems that you're in, you've got to realize how big your God is. And that because we are in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Because we're in Him, we are victorious. And boy, attitude is so important. We won't turn over to the other two scriptures, but Galatians 6:3, many of these talk about, again, our sufficiency is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. An honest look at our lives reveals two things. Number one, our strengths. And number two, our weaknesses. I like this. Someone has said, the devil will try to defeat us both ways. Think about that for a moment. When we think of ourselves, when we, you know, look at ourselves, we find out what our strengths are, we find out what our weaknesses are, and the devil will use both of them to get us. He'll get us thinking too highly of ourselves, and then sometimes he will get us thinking over here only of our weaknesses. And he'll get you to thinking that you're worthless and that you're no good, sorry, rotten dog. I hadn't used that saying in a long time. I used to say that all the time from the pulpit. It needs to come back. It needs to come back. We'll try to put that in more messages from here on out. He really will. He'll get you thinking that way. And then your attitude will change. Listen, he'll try to get you going both ways there. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Listen, we are to live in Christ's strength. When you know yourself, you realize how much you need God. When you know yourself, you realize how much you need Him physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, every facet of our life. We need the Lord. We need His strength. We need His help and having a proper attitude. I do believe there's something in accepting oneself. For better or for worse, we need to accept ourselves for who we are. In other words, God didn't make no junk. I know I've used this illustration before, but I got a big nose for a reason. God gave me the big nose. I accept it. In fact, I've trained my boys to be proud of it. I said to my two boys, that is a Crawford nose, given to us by our papa, given to us by my dad, and therefore you ought to be proud of that nose. Amen. It's good stuff. Have the proper attitude. God gave you the nose. You are. It is what it is. And think of Jimmy Durant. Some of you don't know who that is. But Louis Sinsmeyer. Nobody knows who that is either. But there are many people with big noses. We all get by just fine. Short people want to be tall. Tall people want to be short. You know, bald people want to have hair. Brown eyes want blue eyes, you know. On and on and on. And honestly, there's just some people won't accept who they are. Some people won't accept aging. I mean, just you go through the gamut of it. You are who you are. God has given it to you. If you're short, be proud of every inch of it. If you're not good looking, then welcome to the not too good looking majority. That's a Dr. Barber quote, by the way. Be satisfied, accept who you are. Everybody has defects. Amen. I'll repeat that again, that everybody has quirks. Everybody has things that you may not like. Or you have things about yourself that you may not like. And I'm talking about those things that can't change. I realize you could have plastic surgery and make the nose go away. But we ought to accept the nose we got. unless there's a medical condition. Anyway, accept the way God made you. Accept who you are. All right. Lastly, acknowledge the gift. Acknowledge that every one of us have gifts that God has given us. No two individuals are alike. No snowflake is alike. No fingerprint is alike. That you are different. And God made you with certain talents. God gave you certain abilities. Use them. I've used this illustration before. I've said that already twice tonight, but I have. My mom is still a very good singer. But my mom was in choir in high school. My mom has told us kids that when she was in high school that that her voice was better than what it is when we were kids. I mean, just she has a phenomenal voice when I was a kid. But she over and over again told us, my voice used to be better than this. My voice used to be better than this. But she stopped using it for several years. Not the same voice she used to have. God's given you a talent, use it. There's an old saying that says, use it or lose it. Now, it's absolutely true. The principle is true. Use the gifts that God has given you. Thank Him for what He's given you. And there in Romans, it talks about that God has given certain gifts to certain people and not to certain people. You know, we think about the, you know, that God has given us certain things and where much is given, much is required. We need to be very careful. We need to give God the glory and use what we have to glorify Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our purpose as a Christian is to be like Jesus Christ and to glorify Him. And the way we glorify Him is to use our talents. The way we glorify Him is to think right, and then do right, and have a proper attitude. And I'm not saying that you have to walk around giddy all the time. That's not what we're preaching tonight. We're just saying that we ought to have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we find ourselves grumpy, and we find ourselves negative, and we find ourselves thinking in a negative light, or whatever it may be, think on those things which are pure, and lovely, and honest, and good, and virtuous. Let's think like Jesus thinks. I've quoted the verse again. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Notice it doesn't say, make this mind be in you. These are things you cannot make that happen. But you can put yourself in a position for it to happen by reading your Bible, praying every day, going to church and being faithful. And your mind, and thinking and praying and reading your Bible, your mind will be transformed. And as your mind is transformed, your thinking will be transformed. And as your thinking is transformed, your attitude will be transformed. Amen? You say, preacher, it's as simple as that. It is. When we accept the fact that we are individuals made by God, made for His glory, made to serve Him, made as we are by His own choosing, made as we are by His own choosing, then we have little to complain about. God made us just the way we are. There is no room for a Christian to have a superior attitude. At our very best, we're very bad. We're just sinners saved by grace. What we are, please, Lord, use us. I'm glad that Paul talks about he uses earthen vessels. Just old clay pots. He'll use us. I'm glad we can come to Him just as we are. That He'll use our talents. Let's glorify Him. And let's seek to have a proper attitude. Spouses, let's have proper attitudes toward each other. Let's do our very best with the help of the Holy Spirit not to be grumpy and grouchy. And as Christians going to work, we shouldn't be grouchy. You know? We should go to work and glorify the Lord. We should be uplifting. That's why I had Miss Roberta sing that song tonight. That's an uplifting song. Uplifting, encouraging. Strengthen those around us. And then, Lord willing, when you need a little strength, somebody will strengthen you. The Lord's always there to strengthen you. All right, let's all stand.